Let's go ahead and get started here. You all right, Stephen? What I have is contagious. You look tired there.
Oh, no. This is how I normally look at
it. Oh. It's a new look to me, so.
Sorry.
Oh, here you go. Here.
I'll just stare at you for a while.
No one told Brooke, so. All right, guys, so let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Titus chapter 2, verse 6. After this, we have one more study for the men. I'll try to get that out next week, so we'll be done with the men. Then after that, we'll have two studies for the women left, and we'll be done with this subject. So today is going to be a biblical manhood, be sound in speech.
Be sound in speech.
All right, let's go ahead and read again, Titus 2, 6 through 8. Anybody?
Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about it.
Okay, so we're going to focus on verse 8 right there at the beginning. Sound in word or speech, as some translations have, which is irreproachable, okay? So that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us, okay? What does irreproachable mean? Does anybody know?
Okay. Can't say anything against it.
Can't say anything against it, okay? Okay. So I went to Webster. Webster says that it's blameless, faultless, innocent, guiltless, clear, ethical, righteous, moral, virtuous, and so on, okay? So Mr. Webster's dictionary has to say. So the power of words can create wars, right? We know that. Can create fights. I know I've seen my children scuffle over things that are said. Turmoil. It can create friends. It can forgive, create forgiveness. Even songs, you know, this is written word. Books, conversations. We have podcasts in our days, you know, talks, discussions, blogs, stories, journals, comments, okay? I think one of the most favorite things for some of us in here is to go look at comments, you know, on videos or a hot topic, right? Silas, you do that? Or do you make comments? Or do you read them or do you make them?
They're commenting about me.
So you're reading them about you, huh? Are they all nice?
No, definitely not.
Yeah. No, they're not. I understand that, so no. So, yeah, so again, we have words that are in different form, right? They can be good, they can be bad, they can be uplifting, and some of them are purposely said to be negative, especially with the day and age of the social media, where everybody's, you know, everybody is brave, right? But they will never come and confront you face to face if there's an issue. And so that's, in my eyes, unacceptable, right? Mm-hmm. So, all right, so here's something I found online. So when you say the wrong thing, this is by a lady named Tina Gilbertson. She wrote back in March of 2014. And this section of her write-up is called Unintended Sarcasm. And I think a lot of us can probably relate to this, at least me, because I kind of stick my foot in my mouth sometimes or say dumb things, and so I could really relate to this. So she says, when I was in college back in the 19 whatever, right? I don't want to call her age out. She goes, I was being helped by a cashier around my age who was obviously brand new to her job. Whatever she was doing took an inordinate amount of time and the help of a supervisor to finish. Finally, after much ado, the transaction was done, wanting to convey that I was okay with the delay and that I appreciated her efforts, but not knowing quite how to do that, I said, good job. Okay. She took this as pure sarcasm and gave me a look of hatred that paralyzed me. She says, I was unable to say, no, wait, I really meant it. Instead, I slunk away and walked away. Okay. Have you ever been there where you say something like that? Like, yeah, I didn't go too well. That's me every day.
Like this hurts.
Yeah. Well, yes. So, yeah. So it's a reality, right? It's a reality. I do that often And yeah, I remember, see if you guys, you can help me on this one. I was hoping Victoria would be here this morning to help me out. But so when Clarissa was little, she was probably about 5 years old. We were at a restaurant somewhere. I can't remember where we lived at the time. Anyways, probably Houston. Farmington? Well, this lady walks up, and she says something was written on her shirt. You remember what it said?
I know. It was like a princess or something.
Huh? A doll. Oh, yeah. I'm a doll, or I look like a doll, or something like that. Well, Clarissa just started reading. Okay, she was 5 years old. You know, back then we started them at grade four for kindergarten, or at age four for kindergarten. So by the end of their kindergarten year, they're already reading little words. Well, we're sitting there, and she looks at this lady, and she goes, "You don't look like a doll." And then the waitress was like, "Oh, wow." She didn't know what to say, poor girl. And so then I jump in to try to say, "Oh, yeah, she looks like something else, or a princess." I was trying to water it down, right? I was like, oh, my God. I could see the lady kind of just melt. And Clarissa paused for about 3 seconds. Then she goes, "What?" Well, you said, "You know, you look like a..."
"She looks like a princess."
"Oh, yeah, no, yeah." She goes, "You look like a..." No, it was something else.
I had agreed with you.
"Oh, yeah." "No, but there was another word you said." Anyways, it was something different. And she goes, "No, you look like this instead," which actually lifted her up. She was trying to tell her that she minimized herself, but because she paused for those 3 seconds, then it made it sound really awkward. So anyways, yeah, so Clarissa told a story about this lady. Yeah. So sorry, my daughter. But anyways, that's what that reminded me of as I was putting this together about Clarissa and, you know, that pause as well. How we present our speech can create, tension if we're not careful. All right, so what is the importance of sound speech? Okay, so even just a few words can have devastating consequences. Many people think nothing of speaking or texting or tweeting or emailing an angry word. Okay, we talked about those people just now. Spreading a rumor, slandering another's character. We saw that with the elections recently, right? And we still see that going after people's characters on the news, or even stating half-truths, okay? So men casually make insinuations, utter swear words, they boast about accomplishments, or they maybe criticize, they speak contentiously or complain constantly, okay? Christian men ignore the reality that their speech is always on trial. Remember that. If you're a Christian, your speech is always on trial. Okay, no matter what, whether you're out in the workplace, whether you're at church, whether you're at home, your children are watching, a family dinner, but your speech is always on trial. I get that all the time. I hear that all the time where people are like, "Oh, I thought that guy was a Christian because he said something that was somewhat considered as Christian cuss words," you know, and some people aren't comfortable with that. And some Christians just plain out, just speak vulgarity, right? And so you see these things out there, but again, their speech is always on trial. Christian men's speech is always under scrutiny, whether we like it or not, okay? People are always going to watch what you say, whether you like it or not. I know that's true. I've been called out before. Somebody thought that I said something that I really didn't, but they said it. The person that told them what I said, they said it in a way they normally speak with their words. So I got confronted by it, and I said, "No, I did say all that except for all the cuss words in between that. It wasn't me." And so, you remember that, Jesus? Jesus was the one that called me out on it. But rightly so, and I appreciated that, but it wasn't me. It was just the way the guy spoke, and he just added his flavor to what I said, okay? I had a plain vanilla cake, and the guy had a vanilla cake with sprinkles on it, okay? Little party on that one. Okay, so let's go to Exodus chapter 20. I thought this was interesting here. Exodus chapter 20. Do you guys know what's in Exodus 20? What was that? The commandments and the law. Out of those 10 commandments, which ones are broken with the tongue?
False witness?
Okay, that's one of them. What about another one?
Honor your father and mother.
Okay, that could be physical, kind of. I mean, that could be both. Verbal, yeah. Yeah. Don't take the Lord's name in vain, right? So we got 2.5 here, kind of, right? You can do both.
Slander.
Slander, yep, that's right. So again, what was interesting is that some of these sins, you don't even need to be with other people, right? You can just say them out loud. You know, these are sins committed by the Ten Commandments. So 1/5, at a minimum, of the Ten Commandments can be broken with just the tongue, okay? So I thought that was very interesting. So verse 7, you shall not take the name of Yahweh your God in vain, for Yahweh will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. And then verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Okay, so again, false witness. Anything on that? Anything that catches your mind?
Think of like the book of James where it talks about we can bless our God with our tongue and curse our God with our tongue.
Easy. Hold that. Put that in your back pocket. We'll get there in a little bit. You and Jeremy have that habit where y'all get ahead of it. I take my notes and...
we just look them over before.
Yeah, that's right.
You can write an email to us.
Yeah. No, thank you. Yeah, you're right, though. We'll get to that. So that's a very great point about James, right? Okay. So when we went through Proverbs, you know, a few years back, there's over 100 warnings against this type of speech, right? Unprincipled speech, okay? Let's go to Luke chapter 12 now. Luke chapter 12, verse 3. As soon as somebody gets it, go ahead and read it. Luke 12, 3.
Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops.
Okay, so Christ himself warns against distasteful use of words, right? Sometimes being Christian, specifically men, tend to forget that our words are powerful, okay? Especially as leaders, your words are powerful. Speech is so important that the Bible addresses issues like swearing, criticizing, gossiping, lying, corruptive talk, conversation, boastfulness, complaining, and then others, right? The scripture teaches that our speech, okay, our tongue, are the dipstick of the heart. And so whatever you say out loud is what you're proclaiming in essence is what's in your heart, okay? Your tongue is the dipstick of the heart, okay? So everybody grab your tongue, pull it out, see? No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, absolutely. And so to see what's in the heart, just listen to your speech.
It can be what?
Mental, like thinking it, right? The thoughts? Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But you can hide them, right? We can't see them.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But it is a sign, right? That's for you to know, right? And say, hey, I need to address that, right? That's sinful. Absolutely. Okay? Let's see. Let's go to Matthew 12:34. Go ahead, if somebody has it.
You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart.
So there it is, right? That's the mouth is the handle to the dipstick to the heart. So again, if you want to know how somebody is doing spiritually or whether their heart is right before God, I would say don't look at their church attendance or how often they pray for their meals, how much they give, or whether they serve in ministry. Anyone can perform those tasks. Religious people did and still do today. Okay? But the best way is to hear their speech. Okay? You can evaluate a Christian by their conversations with fellow employees, their spouse, their friends, their children. Okay? So, again, that's something to think about. Okay, so it's not about how good you look at church. It's, again, the other 6 days, right? The other 6 days. Anybody can pretend to be a Christian Sunday morning and even maybe Wednesday night. But the rest of the days will reveal your heart. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12 again. If you're still there, go down two verses, 36 through 37. Somebody read that?
But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an account for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
Yeah, that's a warning, right? By your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Okay? So slips of the tongue are way more important than we know, okay? So just tripping, saying something by accident, you know, that can do some damage. But how you respond in that moment, I think, will define you even better. So, young men, okay, we must evaluate our speech in light of the Lord's scrutiny and judgment, okay? Keeping that in mind, what it just says there in those two verses. Okay, so are we able to resist the temptation to spread the latest rumor? It's a question, don't answer. Okay, are we able to resist the temptation to spread the latest rumor? Can we avoid spewing words of harsh criticism or ungrateful complaints? Okay. Our tongue should be a constant reminder of why we need to have God's word written in our heart and why we should depend upon the Holy Spirit every moment of our lives. Okay. Now we can go to James chapter 3. Let's look at James 3, 9 and 10. And here James gives us a warning. James 3, 9 and 10.
So with it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God.
Next verse.
For the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so.
Man, the same mouth comes what?
Cursing and blessing.
Yeah, blessing and cursing. Okay. The same mouth you tell your mom, your dad, your children, your wife that you love them, and vice versa for the women, you also spew out cursing, you know. So it's very interesting. There's a friend of mine many moons back, had a bad mouth on him temporarily, and I told him, I said, hey, so do you kiss your mom with that mouth? And then he went to saying things at me. So. But I was trying to get him to understand. I was like, man.
Verse 8, it says, but no one can tame the tongue. That's why.
No one can contain the tongue?
No one can tame it.
Oh, tame it. Yeah. That's right.
That's right. We got to pray for the sanctification of our speech as well.
Yep. That's right. That's why it's important to have God's word, you know, in us constantly, saturating our minds, our thoughts. I should be walking behind you and tripping because you can't absorb everything you're learning. And as it's falling out of your mind, I'll be tripping on it as I walk behind you, right? That's how saturated you need to be. So. Okay, so we need to remember that our words are powerful and that they reveal the status of our heart, and they all fall under the scrutiny of Jesus Christ. So godly men are to be known for healthy speech. Okay, our daily conversations should always be, and here's four T's we're going to look at. Our daily conversation should always be true, tested, tonic, and tactical. Whoa. Okay, so these are the four T's we're going to look at next. True, tested, tonic, and tactical. Okay, so we'll look at the first one. So sound speech is to be true. Our speech is to be truthful and in no way contain any lies or deceit. Yes, sir. Oh, okay, gotcha. Sorry, caught you in the corner of my eyes. Okay, so let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. And once you have it, go ahead and read it.
Do not lie to one another, since you have laid aside the old self with its evil practices.
Okay. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with its evil practices. Okay. So this command is a present tense verb in the Greek. Okay. So it means our whole way of life is to be marked by the absence of deceit. Okay. Everything, word, thought, deed. We should also recognize that any lie is a misrepresentation of what? When you're lying, you're not telling the what?
Truth.
The truth. So it's a misrepresentation of truth. But what if it's like 99% right and 1% false?
It's still stupid.
You don't round up? That's right. It's still false, right? So even if our words are technically accurate, here's another way too, but we mislead with our tone of voice, maybe just an omission of something slightly or a gesture, we are violating God's commands, right? So if I tell you something but don't give you the whole story and kind of guide you to be open-minded or maybe kind of guide you to think another way, That's wrong, okay? That's still lying, being untruthful. So speaking truth can be difficult in today's time because we live in a fallen world that is saturated with deception and lies, okay? To some, lying has become a way of life. Okay, there are so many lies out there that even sometimes Christians will repeat them not knowing that they are lies, right? Sometimes we just hear things and you hear it so much that you think it's truth and you start repeating it. And then one day you decide to fact check it and you're like, oh, I've been wrong about that the whole time.
So do you think that there's, just to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah.
Lying is not just not telling the truth. Be more of an intent to deceive with no intention, right?
Exactly.
I mean, because there's at times, like you can say, like Rahab or something. Mm-hmm. She lied about the spies being on the roof. I don't think that that was sinful for her to do that and protect those men of God.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing what needed to be done in the situation. And I've heard both sides.
No. That's why I smiled. I was like, oh, Jesse. He's taking a... Don't be black and white. Be gray. No, I'm just kidding. go ahead, boss. Is it?
Well, but I think you could say, well, God could have protected them another way or whatever. But
sure.
God did protect them. He put Rahab there to hide them underneath the straw.
Mm-hmm.
For her to say, I haven't seen those guys. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, she had good intention in what she was doing, and I think you could... there. You can't operate in this world just going around blurting out everything that's true all the time.
Sure.
To people that don't need that information.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She was seeking to obey the commandment of you shall not murder. In her lie, she was actually being obedient to the commandment of you should murder because she knew that they were going to get killed. You can equate that to the Jewish side of things in World War II.
Yeah, she was trying to save a just life.
Yeah.
Roel, do you have something?
What if I ask my wife, does this shirt make me look fat?
Don't ask questions, you don't
want answers. Yeah.
She said, you look good. You look skinny.
I'll let the other men in the audience answer these questions.
I guess my point in that is that you can get so dogmatic about being truthful that I've seen people be that way where they go around hurting people all the time.
Sure.
They're like, well, it's the truth. And it's like, well, that doesn't mean it didn't need to be said.
Yeah, and well...
You don't just go around saying what's true all the time.
Correct, yeah.
What if somebody asks you for the truth, right?
Like if they say specifically, tell me the truth, and you give them the truth. They want it, yeah.
Now, yep. We don't have any answer to evil people that have evil intent.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that the spies are not here, or even, do you have any Jews in your house that the Gestapo has?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to answer truthfully to evil people with evil intent.
Yeah. What do you say, Chad? Anything you want to say?
Yeah. Feels right.
Yeah.
We're at a point now that we live in this country and we're so blessed and we don't have any idea to think about what's going on in Syria and other parts of the world right now.
Yeah.
We are so blessed and squandering it daily.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, I'm going to throw...
the one line there. Oh, go ahead.
I struggle with it a lot because I'll give you an example.
Yep.
Like at work, every year... they make you read the code of conduct, the ethics code of conduct, and that's the way we manage business. And it's a legal document, and it asks you a lot of questions. Have you ever witnessed this? Have you ever done this? Do you know of anybody? Even if you don't know 100%, but you hear a rumor, you know it's in good faith, right? And so I struggle with that a lot because, they're asking us to manage the business, right, as best as we can. Even if you hear a rumor, right, you're supposed to report it, even if, it's in good faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I struggle with that a lot because, we all fall short, right?
Sure.
So Anyways, I struggle with that.
Who else struggles with that?
I have no problem answering to the positive on those. Now, I don't necessarily witness people, you know, doing things, stealing or whatever.
Sure.
I mean, I guess we all could be guilty of not doing our utmost for the company.
Sure.
You know, so I think there has to be a little balance to all of that stuff. Now, if you know somebody that's taking kickbacks or something like that, yes, you gotta, that's a...
Yeah.
That you gotta say that.
Definitely.
But the fire's a lie. I mean, it is with the intent to deceive. And I think that's the whole umbrella of that lying there.
So maybe is it to destroy, right? To deceive.
Deceive, destroy.
Okay.
I tell you guys, like, if you're going to do something you're not supposed to, don't tell me, because I'm not going to lie for you. Like, if I'm ignorant of it, I can honestly say, I didn't know they did that.
Yeah.
If you tell me about it, I'm not going to lie. And that's just... That's how I operate in those terms. They'll come,
sure.
Hey, Jeremy, can we... I'm like, hold on. If we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. So if you're asking me, I'm going to say do it right, we're going to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to leave it there. And then they're like, okay. So I'm not going to approve of doing something wrong. And I tell them, if I'm ignorant, I can be ignorant and be honest.
Yeah.
And that's how I draw that line, because so many people are going to be dishonest in what they do in the work that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows me to keep my integrity both ways without binding their conscience and causing everything to spiral down. And anyway, that can go a long way. Yeah.
No, I got you. No, it's fair. What's that?
You don't know it. If you don't see it,
yeah.
You don't know it for certain.
Then you can't own it. Yeah.
That
mm-hmm.
They're actually doing those.
That's right.
Having 2 or 3 witnesses and stand on that principle as well.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes it hard, because the policy is written that even if you hear about it,
yeah, but
you know, and you don't have firsthand knowledge,
mm-hmm.
you are required to report it in good faith.
Wow,
yeah.
That's hard. That is hard.
Yeah, so I think whenever you have anything written in document, what does the Bible say first, right? And that's what I would be obedient to first. The next thing is, I'm going to throw a rock, and then we're going to move forward, because lying is a sin no matter how you look at it. Right? How, you know, just like anger, there's a righteous anger and there's an unrighteous anger. I'll be honest, right now at this moment, I don't have an answer for like what your example, Jesse. So I'm going to leave it in the gray. I want you guys to go back and study it and look and maybe come back and find some answers to share. I can look at it too, but that wasn't my intent to focus on that. But it is an important one, okay? And so go back and look. And then come back with some answers next week, and we can maybe spend 5 minutes and talk about what you found, you know, and when is it okay to have, you know, to guide somebody in a different direction to protect goodness, right? If we look at that, I don't know, right? I don't have that answer for you. And I think every moment you're going to find yourself in those situations where you have to make that call. And sometimes no matter which direction you go, could be a wrong or bad decision, or again, which one's the lesser evil of the two? So I'm not saying that's how you should run your life, but I will say that you need to always be in prayer, studying God's word, so that we have wisdom.
Well, and God knows the intent of our heart.
Correct, yes.
When we're doing things like that. I know my parents had to hide somebody one time, and we had to tell the person that they weren't there because they were threatening their lives. So
correct.
That intent of our heart, like Phil said, I think has a lot to do with our relationship with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Like that being...
Definitely.
How he sees us.
Yes. No.
Which is the most important.
Yeah, and I've made those same decisions as well. So I'm not saying that I've always been black and white, yes or no. I'm in the same camp as you guys, so I just don't have that answer.
Yeah.
Right. My conscience will go ahead, Chad.
I know you want to move on, but
No, yeah, this is good.
I was kind of going through this, but so this is kind of how I dealt with it.
Okay.
If I felt like I was leading somebody away from Christ, the answer was simple.
Okay.
Don't do it.
Fair.
You know, obviously warnings around it. But I don't really care about my business. Like, that's a business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have my hand out for somebody else's money. There's respect for
authority,
position, things to that matter.
Mm-hmm.
But one of those has to go above the other.
Definitely.
And that's kind of where I drew the line. Okay. If I felt like the situation could lead somebody away from Christ based on my actions, then I would rather be that guy than...
Then take the other side.
Lie or mislead or deceive and possibly be somebody like, oh, I thought he was a Christian.
Yeah. No, definitely. And that's a... again, those are those decisions. I think we all do that today, but in the back of our minds, I think some struggle with that consciously, right? And some don't. Some have a black and white line, right? This is easy for me. And some, they're like, man, I don't know. This is kind of, you know, so. And I'm with you. At the end of the day, I think we do that no matter what.
The other caveat to that is I'm definitely one of those guys that probably say, oh, I'm just being honest.
Yeah. And we'll talk about you here in a minute. No, I'm just kidding. but that is that's a perspective, right? And so you're real black and white, right? I've known you now for a couple of years, and I would see you as a black and white person, and what you just said would not catch me by surprise, and what you said would not shock me, right? I mean, yeah, that's, I could see that's how you make a decision. It's that easy for you, but there are others who struggle internally with it, not as easy for them like it is for you. No, definitely. Yeah. Because I'm kind of like you in some things. I'm real black and white. But a lot of things like this, I am kind of in the gray, but I get it. I've been in the same situation that Jody brought up where a guy was abusing his wife and she wanted to leave and she did. I didn't know where she went, but I knew she left. But the guy was accusing us of knowing where she went. And I was just telling him, look, I don't know where she's at. And he's like, hey, if you're lying to me, because if you thought I was bad, he goes, I'll come after you pretty much. You threatened me. You know, he didn't say it like that, but he said something else. And but I knew the guy was serious. So I'm like, well, I mean, what do? I just tell the truth. And not only that, though, but if her life is in danger, if I didn't know where she was at, I wasn't going to tell him anyways because how upset he was. So, okay, so let's move forward. Good discussion. Good job, Jesse. No, I really do appreciate these conversations. So remember, though, so we are ambassadors of Christ. So we must be known for speaking the truth. So that's that fine line we're talking about, right? Okay? So somebody is, we are an ambassador, somebody who speaks on behalf of somebody else. So we speak on behalf of Christ. Okay, so let's go to Proverbs 16:19.
Say that again.
So Proverbs 6:16-19. And then I need somebody to go to Matthew 5:37. And then somebody to go to 1 Peter 2:21-22. Proverbs 6:16-19, Matthew 5:37, and 1 Peter 2:21-22. You got Matthew? Go ahead.
But let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than this is from the evil one.
Okay, so let your yes be yes, your no be no. Okay, if you say something, let it be true. Or you commit to something, let it be true. who has Proverbs? You have that?
Yes, sir.
There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers.
So a lying tongue for this case, and then verse 19, a false witness who breathes out lies. That's are some of the things that God hates. Okay? How about 2:21-22, yes, sir.
Okay. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Who committed no sin, nor has any deceit found in his mouth.
Okay, so we're called, right, to be like Christ constantly. We need to constantly be speaking truth, okay? Nor was any deceit found in his mouth, okay? So Jesus Christ always spoke the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, right? so we must follow his example. Okay, so sound speech should be tested. Okay, let's go. Okay, so a godly man will pursue living sound. Let me see. So remember to say that a man's speech is irreproachable, right, refers to the fact that his conversation at any place, any time, cannot be justly accused or criticized. So anywhere you are, our words should be irreproachable, right, without blame. Okay, no matter where you are, at any place or any time, they cannot be accused or criticized in a way that brings reproach onto Christ. Okay, so a godly young man needs to guard his mouth by testing his words before they are spoken. Okay, you need to think about what you say before you say it, men. Young men, true godly men will regret and admit that they have spoken words that they immediately wish they could take back. Okay, I've been there in my life where I've said something, you know what, I shouldn't have said that or said it that way, and you regret it. True godly men are grieving by the words that come out of their mouth, that they still seek to try to control the tongue. I think all of us probably are in that state. We're still trying to control what we say. Maybe as we mature and grow into Christ, maybe less and less, but I think we still try to control. Let's go. I have a few passages here. Psalms 39, 1. Psalms 141, 3. Ephesians 5, 4. And Ephesians 4, 29. Psalms 39, 1. Psalm 141, 3. Ephesians 5, 4. And Ephesians 4, 29. Who has Psalms 39:1?
39:1?
Yes, sir. Okay, go ahead.
I said, I will guard my ways that I may not sin with my tongue. I will guard my mouth with a muzzle so long as the wicked are in my presence.
Okay. Psalms 141:3. Go ahead.
Set a guard, O Yahweh, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips.
Okay. Ephesians 5:4. Go ahead, Owen.
Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving.
Okay. Ephesians 4:29.
Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear.
Okay, so there's so much about speech here, okay, about the tongue. So what these verses are saying, even if what you're about to say may be true, God reminds you that it is not necessarily proper, best, helpful, or even allowable at that moment, okay? So, young men, maybe young ladies as well, what about our speech with our parents, okay? Testing your speech with your parents. This is for young men who still live at home. There are many ways to test your speech in that environment. I'm just going to kind of go through this list. You should avoid trapping your parents in their contradiction. Sometimes we as parents kind of contradict each other, or we have different thoughts, or maybe you're manipulating us, right, in a way where, well, I'm going to present it this way to mom, this way to dad, and maybe kind of trick them, and then when we come together, we're like, oh, that's not what I said, or I did, but you meant it this way. Now. So who wants to live with somebody? Let me back up. Okay, so you must understand that there are no professional parents. We have any professional parents in here today? Oh, yes. Chad. Black and white, see? Professional parents, okay? So nor are they perfect. Parents only get one shot at raising their children. If you're like me, you can look back and say, man, I wish I would have done this different. I wish I would have done that different, right? So, yeah. And Stephen, you're not there yet, or maybe you are, I don't know.
I am.
Are you already? Well, and you're only a couple years into it?
Well, studying into it, children have such a disadvantage in every direction, even from their parents, who we are sinners too.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to strive for sanctification and study the Word so we can raise them right.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's things I wish I could have done differently even a year ago.
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So what we should do is encouraging our parents. So young men, you should be encouraging your parents towards Christ-likeness, primarily by your example, okay? You should be leading as well. If you call yourself a Christian, you know, don't put your parents in those situations. Don't make a habit of pointing out their wrongs, inconsistencies, and their imperfections, okay? Did you write these down, you guys? So you too must admit your own mistakes. If you can point them out, you better be ready to turn around. And what do they say when you're pointing your finger? There's three others pointing back at you,
yeah.
Right? I've heard that. I've never used it, but yeah. So...
I can
see. Yeah. Any point? And my thumb. So, parents, if you see that, they're being sinful. Yeah, that's right. So again, be vulnerable about your weakness, goals for growth, and even your fears, right? If you are blessed to have Christian parents, you should ask their opinion on issues. Okay, you can learn a few things from mom and dad, and it'll also improve your relationship with them by asking them questions about their past and how they dealt with issues in their day could truly benefit you today. Okay, so again, keep that in mind. Another is testing your speech with others. So another way to develop sound speech is to avoid repeating or encouraging gossip and slander. When you listen to or share a bad report about someone, whether intentionally or unintentionally, you are participating in unsound speech. The Bible teaches that evil reports are passed on by whisperers, gossip, slanders, and busybodies, each of whom the Bible condemns severely. One commentator said that there's very little difference between a gun and a tongue. Okay, this is cool. Both assassinate people, and unfortunately, some families and churches are full of verbal assassins. So, tongues and guns. I'm going to get that's our new shirt, right? Tongues and guns. What's that?
Sometimes they go off.
Yeah, that's right. Tongues and guns. Okay. Okay, so how can we stop gossip? There's a couple points here. First, you need to be willing to talk less and listen more. There is a reason God has given us two ears, we've all heard this before, and one mouth, right? So we, as Christians, we need to become men of few words. And I'll read these so you can write them down or go back and listen to this. But Ecclesiastes 10:14 says, "Yet the simple-minded fool multiplies words. No man knows what will happen, and who can tell him what will come after him?" Proverbs 10:19 says, "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who holds back his lips has insight." Okay? If we keep talking, we will likely sin. Okay? So if you keep talking, you'll likely sin. James 1:26 says, "If anyone thinks himself to be religious while not bridling his tongue but deceiving his own heart, this man's religion is worthless." Proverbs 17:28 tells us to just don't talk, right? Just be quiet. And people will think you're a genius, that you're smart. Okay, so here's what it says, Proverbs 17:28. "Even an ignorant fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered understanding." So you could be a fool and be thought of as wise just by holding your tongue. All right, what is it?
It's best to be thought ignorant than to open your mouth and confirm all
things. Oh, I like that. Woo, that was good. We'll put that on the back of our shirt. All right. The second tip is to stop becoming a gossip not only while a man with a tested tongue talk less, but also will develop the habit of screening what he hears. So yeah, so he'll screen what he hears. A godly Christian man who refuses to listen to what they're hearing. Okay, when we hear gossip, we should walk away, change the subject, or say, "I don't think the Lord is pleased by this conversation." Okay, when godly men hear unsought gossip or slander of any kind, they do not get on the phone to spread misinformation. They go to the throne. Okay, so we don't go to the phone; we go to the throne. That's another shirt. That's a hat right there.
That's a good
dag. Yeah. So we go to the throne in prayer, right? Because they desire to be sound in their speech. So don't go to the phone, but go to the throne. All right, I'll stop there. I've got two more points.
Still got the pants and the shoes left.
The what?
The pants and the shoes.
The pants and the shoes, yeah. So sound speech is tonic, and then sound speech is tactical. Which they're not very long, so we'll... Huh?
So I thought you were first. When you say we go to the throne, I thought you were talking about going to the throne.
You can do that.
I was like, I'm sure that's not what he meant.
Is that her own interpretation?
Yeah, adding to the scripture, Clarissa. All right, let's pray. Chad, you don't mind closing us in a word of prayer? You don't mind closing us in a word of prayer? Yeah, no, it's okay.
Dear Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this chance to come together and learn your word and your wisdom, your grace and your mercy for us. We ask that you continue to guide us, watch over us, and nurture us. We ask that you take care of us in this time of sickness and help us to find you in the struggles. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chad.